الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا عائش، هذا جبريل يقرأ عليك السلام، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers, elders, ulama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Generally we find that when we talk about great personalities in Islam, then often we are discussing those men who made great contributions towards our deen, to the upliftment of Islam, or contributed in a great way to the betterment of the Muslim Ummah. But very few, seldom do we find that we discuss those women, those females who contributed in a great way to our deen. Today we want to discuss one such woman, one such lady, who we find very few men in history can match her contribution to Islam. We find, respected brothers, in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, for those of us who have been reading, who have read on the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or kitabs on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have probably heard or came across a dish among the Arabs known as sarid. Sarid was something that was a dish that was very popular among the Arabs, something that they gave preference to over all other types of meals. A person may wonder, why are we discussing, especially in the month of Ramadan, when we are fasting, about some type of food? It is not to spoil your fast in any way, but rather because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned about this particular dish that was loved by the Arabs, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the superiority of this particular woman who we want to discuss today over all other women is like the superiority of sarid over all other dishes. Respected brothers, we find that this particular woman, we find that she is among the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She is one of the most beloved people to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was such a person who, due to her virtues and excellences, even Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam sent his salam and greetings to this great woman. And we find she was by far the most learned lady in history. Respected brothers, although this particular woman had neither attended any school, any university, or Darul Uloom, we find that her eloquence, her narrations, her opinions on many juristic issues and aspects, and many parts of her life, are discussed in these very institutions. This woman, respected brothers and elders, is none other than our beloved mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And we find that just how other women like Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first wife, and also Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved daughter, the queen of the women of Jannah, just as they enjoy great privileges and virtues and status in our deen, we find Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is also among those great women who are blessed with the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we find many virtues have been attached to this great woman. Before discussing her virtues, just very briefly, just a few aspects about the life of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. We find that she came into the nikah and the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the young age of 6. This, as we will see, was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a divine instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And something to note, respected brothers, we find she comes into the nikah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that age when we today send our children to school. Because Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was going to become one of the greatest students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, we find Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha then comes into the care and starts living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 9. At the age of 18, at the young age of 18, Aisha radiallahu anha becomes a widow when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves this dunya. And then she goes on to live the next 48 years of her life as a widow, because bearing in mind the injunction of the Quran, وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَبَدًا, that none of the believers are allowed to marry any of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we find, respected brothers, in the year 48 Hijri, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala passes away, and her janazah salah is performed by none other than another great ocean of knowledge, and that is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. Respected brothers, we find at this age of 18, she becomes a widow at the age of 18. Let us look at our sisters and our daughters today. What understanding of deen or the injunctions of deen do they have today at that age? But we find Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, at the age of 18, she is already in a position to convey 2,210 ahadith to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama explained that out of these 2,210 ahadith, approximately 174 of these ahadith have been narrated in the most authentic kitabs of Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. Something to note also, respected brothers, we find that the Orientalists and the Shia will always target these two personalities, that is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anh and Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Why? Because they know if they can manage to discredit these two Sahaba, then they are basically wiping off a major portion of our deen, because most of our narration, most of our deen come from the narrations of these two great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming to the virtues of this great woman, we find that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha herself mentions, she herself mentions that Allah ta'ala has blessed her with 9 such privileges that were not given to any other woman. The first privilege Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, that prior to my nikah, Jibreel alayhi salam descended with my appearance and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this will be your wife. And that is why we find, respected brothers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that Aisha, for three consecutive nights, was shown to me in a dream, and it was told to me that this is your wife. So we find that this was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should marry Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The second privilege that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentions, وَلَقَدْ تَزَوَّجَنِي بِكْرًا وَمَا تَزَوَّجَ بِكْرًا غَيْرِي, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married me as a virgin, meaning a woman who was not previously married, and he had not married any other woman like this, meaning all the other women, wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were previously married. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was the only wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was not previously married. The third privilege that she mentions, وَلَقَدْ تُوفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَإِنَّ رَأَسَهُ لَفِي حِجْرِي. Subhanallah, respected brother, try to picture that scene that she says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and left this dunya. وَإِنَّ رَأَسَهُ لَفِي حِجْرِي. the Mubarak head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the lap of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. That is why we find that the poet says beautifully, mentioning the word of mentioning the condition of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that marid al nabiyyu wa ma tabayta tara'ibi, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ill and he passed away. فَالْيَوْمَ يَوْمِي وَالْزَمَانُ زَمَانِي, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in the lap of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So she says, that was my day, that day was my honor, وَالْزَمَانُ زَمَانِي. We find that the first privilege of Aisha radiallahu anha that she mentioned, وَلَقَدْ كُبِرَ فِي بَيْتِي, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried in my home. He was buried in my home. And we know at the time of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba did not know where to bury Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu who came with the solution to the problem. And he mentioned that he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a Nabi is buried in the place where he passes away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried in the very home of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that is why the poet says very beautifully, Ya mubghidi la ta'ti qabra Muhammadin fal baytu bayti wal makanu makani, that O you who hates me, like we find the Shias, the hatred they hear for our beloved Ma'adha Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says, Ya mubghidi, O the one who hates me, la ta'ti qabra Muhammadin, do not even come and stand at the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fal baytu bayti wal makanu makani, because that place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried is my home, that is my place. The next privilege of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala that she mentioned, وَلَقَدْ حَفَّتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَيْتِي, that the malaika would throng and surround the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she mentioned that I am the only spouse of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who enjoyed revelation while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoyed seclusion with me. That no other of us was a great privilege of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with any of his other wives in seclusion, with any other wives, the wahi and revelation would not descend upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Jibreel alayhi salam would visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bring revelation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why often Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ya Aish, hadha Jibreel yaqrab alayki salam, that O Aisha, this is Jibreel sending salam and greetings upon you. We find that some of you respected brothers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, وَإِنِّي لَإِبْنَةٌ خَلِيفَتِي وَصَدِيقِهِ, that I am the daughter of the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the close friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And we know that he was according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the undisputed Khalifa and successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the closest friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such a beautiful dua for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, that rahimahullahu Aba Bakrin, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his choice of blessings and mercies on Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Zawwajani ibnatahu, he married me to his daughter. حملني إلى دار الحجرة, he made arrangements for my conveyance to Medina Munawwara for the Hijra. صاحبني في الغار, that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Tur during Hijra. And on that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, that anta sahibi fi al-ghar wa sahibi ala al-hawl, that oh Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, you are my companion in the cave and you will be my companion as the pond of Kawthar on the day of Qiyamah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a'ataqa bilalan min malihi, that you know Bilal radiallahu anhu was one of those slaves who was undergoing untold persecutions at the hands of the kuffar. It was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an who used his wealth and his money to buy the freedom of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an. The seventh privilege of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an that she mentioned, وَلَقَدْ نَزَلَ عُذْرِي فِي السَّمَاءِ, that my innocence was proclaimed in the heaven. We know the incident of, or it's known as Waqi'ah Ikh, that where some among the munafiqeen, there were those who accused Aisha radiallahu ta'ala na'udhu billah of having committed adultery and having had an affair with another person. There's no time to go into the details of the incident, but they there was people who slandered Aisha radiallahu ta'ala in this way, and it created a lot of disturbance and confusion in Medina Munawwara, and many innocent Muslims also got caught up in the fitna. We find that regarding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself proclaimed the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala in Surah Nur in the Quran, with approximately 10 or more verses in the Quran. Allah ta'ala himself proclaimed the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala in the Quran. That is why Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes that he says when Yusuf alayhi salam was accused of zina, when Yusuf alayhi salam was accused of adultery, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved his innocence through the tongue of a child that was still in the cradle. Allah ta'ala gave the child the ability to speak, and through that Allah ta'ala proved the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam. We find that Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi father writes that Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, when she was accused of immorality, then Allah ta'ala proved her innocence on the tongue of a Nabi, and that was Isa alayhi salam. However, when it came to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, then he writes that Allah ta'ala was not pleased with just proving her innocence on the tongue of a child or through the tongue of a Nabi, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself revealed ayat of the Quran, and every person will have to, every hafiz of Quran will have to recite these ayat of Quran in the Taraweeh Salah, and for a person to complete his khatam, a person will have to read those ayat of the Quran in which we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself proved the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, وَلَقَدْ خُلِقَدْ طَيِّبَ, that I have been created pure, meaning she was innocent from all the accusations that people had leveled against her. And the ninth privilege that she mentioned, that Allah blessed her with such immense knowledge. As we mentioned in the beginning, 2,210 hadith was narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and we find senior sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who would come to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to seek knowledge or to ask her for opinions regarding certain problems that they have been facing. So she was a great ocean of knowledge. These were the privileges that were given to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us look at the love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. That on one occasion, Hazrat Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anha, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked that, "Man ahabbu an-nasu ilayk?" Oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most beloved person to you? That who do you love the most? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Aisha." It is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As said, "Min al-Rijal," oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my question is from among the men. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Abuha," her father. So we find, subhanAllah, respected brothers, what a blessed family, that father and daughter are the two most beloved people to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his lifetime. And we find Sahaba radiallahu anhu knew and understood the love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. That is why we find that we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend one night at each one of his wives. However, Sahaba realized that the day that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, he would be in an extra, he would be in a better mood, he would be more happy when he was at Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's house. And Sahaba radiallahu anha would take advantage of this, and they would send hadiah and gifts for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was at the home of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And we find that this is why the other wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to request Sahaba radiallahu anhum that they should also send gifts when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at their home. And on one occasion also we find respected brothers, the other Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they sent Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that you should be equal in your love for us as you love Aisha radiallahu anha. We should understand, respected brothers, that one is, if a person has more than one wife, he has to treat each one of all his wives equally. However, love is something that is not within a person's control. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used to make dua to Allah ta'ala that his love for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is more than the love for all all his other spouses. So they said, Aisha Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the woman requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have equality in his life, in his love for all the wives of his. However, when she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh my beloved daughter, do you not love who I love? She said, yes, I love who you love. Then he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, then you should also love Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This was the love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for her, and that is why also in the final illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he could not now, he was too weak to go, spend one night at each one of his wives, he requested permission from the other wives that he wants to spend the last few days of his in the home of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. We find the sister brothers to understand the virtue and the status of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The famous Tabi'i and Muhaddith Masruq, when he would narrate any hadith that he had learned from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he would not just say that I heard Aisha radiallahu ta'ala saying that, but rather look at what beautiful words he would narrate the hadith word, that he would say, the truthful one, daughter of the truthful one, whose innocence was confirmed by Allah through wahi, and who was the beloved one of the beloved one to Allah. And then he would say, so she has narrated to me such. Everyone understood the status of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and how much love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Let us understand, respected brothers, that this is our belief as the Muslims and the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding the great woman Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. In a few days time it will be the 17th of Ramadan. The 17th Ramadan marks the demise of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While we will feel sorrow and sadness over the demise of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, we find that those people who claim to be Muslims, who claim to love the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shia, they will use this very day to celebrate, na'udhu billah, celebrate the demise of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Look what happens on social media in different countries around the world. They will actually make cakes with Aisha finnar, na'udhu billah, on the cake, and they will chant slogans of Aisha finnar, meaning that Aisha is in the fire of Jahannam. These are the beliefs of those people who claim to love the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us just look at some of their beliefs regarding this noble woman, that they believe that it was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha who are the ones, they believe that they poisoned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that led to his death. We find that in Biharul Anwar, one of the most authentic kitabs written by one of the most authentic kitabs of the Shias, written by Mullah Baqir Majlisi, to understand what status he has in the religion or the cult of Shiism, we find that Khomeini himself has mentioned that Shiism is as Mullah Baqir Majlisi has written. What does he say about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? He says that when the Mahdi will come, then he will dig her out of a grave and will give her the punishment of a person who has committed adultery, na'udhu billah. This is the beliefs of people who claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that the same ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to prove the innocence of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, these people used those same ayat to say that Aisha radiallahu anha was the one who accused another woman of committing zina, na'udhu billah. So respected brothers, let us understand that what is our beliefs regarding Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Let us never ever open our mouths against the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, for those were people who Allah ta'ala said radiallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. When Allah is pleased with somebody and Allah ta'ala has declared his pleasure for them in the Quran, Allah will never become displeased with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Wa kullu wa'ada Allahu al-husna, Allah has promised each and every Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Jannah, no matter who may say what, they can never ever dishonor the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But it is for us, for the protection of our iman, that we inculcate the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in our hearts, and inculcate the love of and understanding of the status of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in our children, so that our progenies may be protected. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.